was doing the Medusa podcast, and I was talking about how Medusa jewelry can be a line of protection for you. Well, Misha Farzaneh, which is an ethical and sustainable jewelry shop, has the cutest, dopest jewelry. Like, I love it. And they have Medusa pieces as well. So feel free to go into the link in my bio to get, 15% off and check out their jewelry. It lasts long. It's beautiful, beautiful quality. Beautifully, designed. I love their pieces, okay? So go ahead and check them out and, get the 15% off. I'm saying, go ahead and do it. So sorry about that, y'all. But basically what I'm saying is that, the things that I am supposed to possess or will normally possess or, should possess or possess in general can kind of get lost in oblivion with the second house modern ruler being in the 12th house, right? And then let's look up out the 8th house again, but seeing in when it comes to inheritances and me gaining in that sense too, again, like I said, my 8th house ruler is in the 12th. And so I have a lot of things that I actually, supposed to have, can get lost, and there's certain things in this lifetime I'm supposed to learn certain patterns subconsciously that I need to kind of attack and work through this lifetime and master in order for me to get the things that I want. But I am blessed to kind of see the experiences that my mom and my sister had, because they're just showing me the standard, right? Now, I'm not going to front like it was difficult, because, I was very happy that they gained things. But when I was really younger, when I was like teens, I used to be like, well, why am I not getting these things? Why is it difficult for me and everything? But then, astrology. This is actually the whys of life. Astrology helped me a lot with it. So, by the time I was in my mid-20s. I really got it. You know what I mean? I really got it. And wasn't expecting, nothing but what I felt like I deserved. You get what I'm saying? So there's that. So, that's just my personal example of how it works. So you should see in your chart too, if you feel kind of similar in your experiences, what's going on. But again, I'm in my hometown too. I'm currently living in my hometown right now. And so, of course, this energy is amplified. If you know anything about astral cartography, you would know that your natal chart is basically the astral cartography chart of your birthplace. You know what I mean? So, of course, this energy is being amplified. Now, when I was younger and had less responsibilities, I traveled a bunch and had a totally different experience. I did in Boston, where I was able to get all the things and be offered stuff, and it was nothing but a thing, and it was awesome. And I was able to really get the experience that my mom and my sister had in my hometown and these other places. And so that got me thinking, why am I having such a different experience in these different places? This is me in my mid to late 20s. And then I tapped into astral cartography again. So I knew it was a thing maybe, early 20s-ish, but I was like, oh, this is cool. But I was just so stuck on natal charts and sign astry at that time. But then astral cartography was really had me in a chokehold, honestly, because it's it was so fascinating, because this is after I've traveled a bunch, and I was like, wait, why am I having these such a different experience? This is kind of wild. And so astral cartography would explain it for me. And so now I know you're wondering, okay, how does that work? Well, in astral cartography, your planets stay in the same sign and same degree, but the houses shift depending on where you want to go, right? And so basically the houses move forward the more east you go, and backward the more west you go. So for example, I'm an Aquarius rising, and like South Africa, I am a Taurus rising there in my relocation chart, and in LA I'm a Sag rising in my relocation chart. You get what I'm saying? There it is. And so a lot of times, you know, these important points such as your ascendant, descendant, IC or MC will start to make different aspects. The relocated ones will start to make different aspects to your planets now, and you would prove to have a different experience in this place. Now, I do have a course on this, and it's a course for, you know, people who are well versed in astrology. You have to be able to read a chart to really take it in, read a natal chart well to take it in, but I have a course on it. Definitely check it out. It's awesome. Have payment plans available, blah blah blah. But you know, that's kind of like the essence of astral cartography. And so, you know, sometimes in Boston it would feel like I'm a fucking 4 or 5, right? But I go somewhere else and it'll feel like I'm a 9, 10. You know what I mean? Just off of experience alone. Now, the crazy thing is, regardless, you know, I am, you know, first of all, we are all beautiful regardless, right? You know, we get kind of caught up through imperialization and colonization. We get caught up in these beauty standards that would not make sense when it comes to our people and our culture and where we come from and everything, right? So we get caught up in it, and you know, we are basing our beauty off of another culture or another collection of culture, whatever cultures, whatever like that, right? We are all beautiful, and I know it sounds cheesy, but it's not. It's legit. We are all beautiful. Deal with it, okay? It's real, because again, we're basing our beauty off something that's fake. You know what I mean? Off of a beauty, or it's not even fake, it's like a beauty standard that is not necessarily, you know, connected to most of us. So why would you, you know, we shouldn't really, I get the whole programming and everything, but we shouldn't really connect to it like that, you know? Are there people that are more beautiful than others? Yes, but we all are beautiful because someone is going to find us attractive. It is what it is, right? So anyway, there's that. We are all attractive and we are all beautiful, okay? But what I want to say with this, though, is that, you know, in my hometown, even though I am beautiful, you know, people may have a hard time telling me that, again, because all of the romance rulers, you know what I mean, are in the 12th house, who the house of, that's of, you know, it's not even like the 8th house, the house of secrets. It's like, 12th house is almost that energy where you have to intuit it. Like, you are never going to know. People are not going to open up about it. And if they do, it's going to be stale. And that has been my experience, right? So, like, while growing up, again, I told you the experience where I wouldn't have that much of a, I guess, romantic life, if you would call it that, right? But years later, someone would be like, I always had the biggest crush on you. And I'll be like, really? I never would have known. Yeah, they're totally playing off that 12th house shit. You know what I mean? And so, like, that happened to me, like, I can't count how many times that has been said to me. Now, if when I was in different cities, I did not experience it. When someone found me attractive and wanted to get to know me, they would approach me, right? And it's because the house has shifted. And so now my 5th, 7th, 8th and 9th house, not 9th, 8th, the 2nd house rulers, you know what I mean, or lords, are different. And so they're in different houses, and I'm not going through that experience. So this is why I tell people too, when you want to relocate and you pull up the actual chart, not the map, but the chart of the place you want to relocate to, you don't want energy in the 12th house, because that aspect is going to be hidden. And yes, it's nice to have, you know, to experience the 12th house energy. It's cool, but it's tough at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, the best way to describe it, and this is me totally dramatizing it to the greatest degree. So please don't, like, act like I'm trying to compare 12th houses to, like, Jesus, or his real name's Yeshua. But, like, this is the best way that I could describe it that's universal, that people will get. I'm not saying that 12th houses is Yeshua or Yeshua or Jesus. Please, guys, please, just please get off of yourself. All right, so the thing is like, you know, God probably approached Yeshua, was like, hey, this is what I want you to do, right? I want you to give up your life and suffer and go through this crucifixion and stuff. And it's gonna, like, free the people of the world. You know, before then, you're gonna have to, like, you know, spread messages around and be threatened and have to hide out and stuff and hang out with, you know, people that are cool, but, you know, might stab you in the back a little bit, might kind of front on you a little bit. But, you know, they're also kind of known as, like, the unwantables of the world. But, you know, they're cool, though, in general. And, you know, and, like, but you're going to help the world, and it's going to be beautiful, you know. So, Yeshua's kind of like, okay, I'll do it for you, God. All right. So, it's kind of like, do I, you know, is there a long line to be a freaking Messiah? No, but some people will do it, and when they do it, they'll feel proud. But it's not a long line. It's not something that you really, like, want. But if you are happen to be born into that position, or having those placements, then you're like, okay, like, I'm catching the groove. I'm seeing the deeper meaning. It is something special to this. But if I had to choose my chart, would I want to be a 12,000? No, but, you know, that's how it is. So when you, you know, are doing astrocartography, you know, you kind of don't want to have that 12th house energy. Why would you want to have this energy that represents, like, subconscious patterns, hidden things, not having full awareness, not having proof, being able to feel it and intuit it, but not having a full proof, and people having the potential to gaslight you? It's just not that. If you're trying to, like, you know, see things, your chart, in a different perspective, you don't have it in 12 hours. You don't want that 12 hours energy, okay? All right, so there's that. So with all that being said, though, in these places that I've been, you know, the lords to these houses are not my 12th no more. They're in other places, and I'm experiencing that, and people are coming up to me and talking to me and not being afraid, not feeling intimidated, not being a scaredy cat. Like, I'm having this different experience there. So with all that being said, I do feel that, you know, that's actually the key to it. So not necessarily, like, being on a planetary line, which I'm going to talk about planetary lines too, but, you know, especially if you're a 12th houser, if you're a 12th houser and you feel like, I feel ugly, like, I'm getting no play, I feel like I'm not desirable, like, most likely you have to move somewhere where all that planetary energy is out the 12th house. And you move somewhere, so in the relocation chart, you have no plans in the 12th house. I bet you the experience is going to be different. It was for me. Okay, so there's that. But if you want to, like, kind of, like, dig a little deeper with the astrocartography, right, and you want to be able to, like, you know, have that I'm a 10 experience, follow your Venus ascendant line. I'll even say Venus descendant line too. I'll say follow your Neptune ascendant line or Neptune descendant line. You know, Venus or Neptune MC line may be okay too, because it's, you know, it's your reputation, it's your status, it's not just the career, it's how people kind of know of you without knowing you. You know what I mean? To get very reputation. So I'll say that too, but when it's your Venus, like, ascendant or Neptune ascendant line, you're embodying the energy of the planet. And so, you know, Venus is connected to beauty. Neptune's connected to the allure. And so You are embodying that yourself, and so you may notice that people appreciate your beauty more there, right? So again, like I said, we're all beautiful and we all have something attractive about us. And so in these places, even though if you feel like, well, no, I'm not beautiful, first of all, go back and listen to what I said about how beauty standards are fake, right? But then know that there is something beautiful or attractive about you, even within that standard. And that someone, you know, that's going to be kind of like coveted, or like people are going to appreciate that in this area, right? Especially if your Venus or your Neptune 12 aspect is. So this is another thing too, you know, I would say be careful with Neptune in Venus if they are not the best aspected planets, or if their aspects are harsh. There's nothing but harsh aspects to them. Because that's the experience you're going to have there, right? So you do have to be careful with that. But generally speaking, for people who have like well-aspected or decently aspected Venus and Neptune, you move over to those lines, especially if it's your Venus ascendant or Neptune ascendant line, it's going, you know, people, you're going to start to see the difference. Yeah, start to see the difference. And it's going to be witty. It's going to be awesome. And you're gonna love it. But again, make sure you look at the lord of those houses, of that first house too, or your chart ruler, or relocated chart ruler, I would say. Look at the lord of your relocated chart ruler to see, make sure that's not in the 12th. Again, you don't want no energy, no plans in the 12th. Or if you're kind of like, I really want to go to this place though, have the least amount of plans in the 12th. That'll be my suggestion. All right, so you know, that whole, like, in New York, I'm a 10, in Miami, I'm a 5, in LA, I'm an 8, like, I understand what you mean, because there is, like, culture and beauty standards within each cities and everything, but most likely, it's kind of just, like, how your energy, astrologically and otherwise, is connected to those places, okay? Like, I'll even say this. I was talking to one of my friends, and they were talking about how they were having a hard time getting into the clubs in Miami. And they're beautiful. Like, all the people that was there that was talking about the story, they're beautiful. I didn't have a hard time getting to the clubs in Miami. I was actually pushed up to the front. I was actually, even in one opportunity, pushed into Rihanna's section, like, by the security, right? Pushed into it. Like, that would have never happened to me in my hometown. Never would have happened to me in Boston. Never. Like, I have actually a weird experience with clubs in Boston. It's very, very strange. It's very, very, very strange. It's weird. I just get a lot of stares and stank looks from some people sometimes, some girls. And just people just staring at me, and that's all I get. If I go to other places, it's not that experience at all, which is weird to me too, because I'm still an Aquarius rising in Miami, so I don't know what that goes to show you. Degrees are very important too, especially when it comes to the, you know, angular points. But yeah, it's wild. It's very interesting how that works, okay? But every little point counts, every little angle counts, blah blah blah, blah. And I think a big part of it in Miami too is that I don't have Mars conjunct my midheaven there like that. My midheaven's kind of further away, because natally, like, it's a degree away, my Mars and my midheaven, but that intimidation of the Mars is kind of away, so the experience is not that bad. My best experience, honestly, has been in the West Coast, personally. It has. I like it there. But, you know, another thing is, in the West Coast, I'm a Sag rising. And so my relocated chart rule is in the 5th house. So, of course, it's going to be a better experience for me. Do you get what I'm saying, y'all? So, there's a deeper reason here. You know, it's a deeper reasoning. There's some deeper things happening here on an energetic level. All right, so don't feel bad if you feel, you know, the energy doesn't match you in this places. Just move somewhere else. And I know it's not easy to move, but we can make things happen if we try. And I get also too that the economy is kind of wild, so please don't like take too many big risks. I want you to have your savings. I want you to be safe. I want you to be good. I want you to eat. I want you to have all the utilities, okay? But you know, we have to kind of like work towards our goals and not to give up, because if we kind of just stay put, you know, you're gonna have a lot of regrets, and I don't want y'all to have that, okay? All right, so that's my take on it. I would love to hear what you guys have to say, what you think and all of that. So yeah, let me know. Okay, all right, peace. Since we're all on the internet protection is probably at the utmost importance, especially now. I like to do this through Surfshark's VPN services because, you know, they cover you with a VPN. They cover you with a whole bunch of other services as well that protect you while you're online. It's very, very awesome. Right now, in the link of my bio, you can get 80% off of Surfshark VPN for 2 years, all right? 80% off. It is a deal. Now, my favorite thing about Surfshark is that you can add multiple items in there. So you can add your laptop, your phone, your iPad, all of that. And multiple people can put their items in there too, in your family, if you have a big family like me. So check out Surfshark VPN. Go to the link in my bio to get that 80% off and enjoy. All right. Sorry about that, y'all. But basically what I'm saying is that, like, you know, the things that I am supposed to possess or would normally possess or, you know, should possess or possess in general can kind of get lost in oblivion with the second house modern ruler being in the 12th house, right? And then let's look up out the 8th house again, but seeing in when it comes to inheritances. And me gaining in that sense too, you know, again, like I said, my 8th house rulers and the 12th. And so I have like a lot of things that I actually, you know, supposed to have, can get lost, you know, and there's certain things in this lifetime I'm supposed to learn certain, you know, patterns subconsciously that I need to kind of attack and work through this lifetime and master in order for me to get the things that I want. But, you know, I am blessed to kind of see the experiences that my mom and my sister had because they're just showing me the standard, right? Now, I'm not going to front like it was difficult because, you know, I was very happy that they gained things. But when I was really younger, like when I was like teens, I used to be like, well, why am I not getting these things? Why is it difficult for me? And everything. But then, you know, astrology. This is actually the whys of life. Astrology helped me a lot with it. So, you know, by the time I was in my mid-20s, I really got it. You know what I mean? I really got it. And wasn't expecting, you know, nothing but what I felt like I deserved. You get what I'm saying? So there's that. So, you know, that's just my personal example of how it works. So you should see in your chart too, if you feel kind of similar in your experiences, what's going on. But again, I'm in my hometown too. I'm currently living in my hometown right now. And so, of course, this energy is amplified. If you know anything about astral cartography, you would know that your natal chart is basically the astral cartography chart of your birthplace. You know what I mean? So, you know, of course, this energy is being amplified. Now, when I was younger and had less responsibilities, I traveled a bunch and had a totally different experience than I did in Boston where I was able to get all the things and be offered stuff, and it was nothing but a thing, and it was awesome. And I was able to like really get the experience that my mom and my sister had in my hometown and these other places. And so that got me thinking, like, why am I having such a different experience in these different places? You know, this was me in my like mid to late 20s. And then I tapped into astrophotography again. So I knew it was a thing, maybe, you know, early 20s-ish. But I was like, oh, this is cool. But I was just so stuck on natal charts and synastry at that time. But then, like, astrophotography was really, like, had me in a chokehold, honestly. Because it's like, it was so fascinating. Because this is after I've, like, traveled a bunch, and I was like, wait, why am I having these such a different experience? Like, this is kind of wild. And so, yeah, astrophotography would explain it for me. And so, now I know you're wondering, like, okay, how does that work? Well, in astrophotography, you know, your planets stay in the same sign and same degree, but the houses shift depending on where you want to go, right? And so, basically, the houses move forward the more east you go, and backward the more west you go. So, for example, I'm an Aquarius rising. And like South Africa, I am a Taurus rising there in my relocation chart. And in LA, I'm a Sag rising in my relocation chart. You get what I'm saying? There it is. And so a lot of times, you know, these important points such as your ascendant, descendant, IC or MC will start to make different aspects. The relocated ones will start to make different aspects to your planets now. And you would prove to have a different experience in this place. Now, I do have a course on this, and it's a course for, you know, people who are well versed in astrology. You have to be able to read a chart to really take it in, read a natal chart well to take it in. But I have a course on it. Definitely check it out. It's awesome. Have payment plans available, blah blah blah. But you know, that's kind of like the essence of astrophotography. And so, you know, sometimes in Boston, it would feel like I'm a fucking 4 or 5, right? But I go somewhere else and it'll feel like I'm a 9, 10. You know what I mean? Just off of experience alone. Now, the crazy thing is, regardless, you know, I am, you know, first of all, we are all beautiful regardless, right? You know, we get kind of caught up through imperialization and colonization. We get caught up in these beauty standards that would not make sense when it comes to our people and our culture and where we come from and everything, right? So we get caught up in it, and you know, we are basing our beauty off of another culture or another collection of culture, whatever cultures, whatever like that, right? We are all beautiful, and I know it sounds cheesy, but it's not. It's legit. We are all beautiful. Deal with it, okay? It's real, because again, we're basing our beauty off a something that's fake. You know what I mean? Off of a beauty, or it's not even fake. It's like a beauty standard that is not necessarily, you know, connected to most of us. So why would you? You know, we shouldn't really. I get the whole programming and everything, but we shouldn't really connect to it like that. You know, are there people that are more beautiful than others? Yes, but we all are beautiful because someone is going to find us attractive. It is what it is, right? So anyway, there's that. We are all attractive and we are all beautiful, okay? But what I want to say with this, though, is that, you know, in my hometown, even though I am beautiful, you know, people may have a hard time telling me that, again, because all of the romance rulers, you know what I mean, are in the 12th house, who the house of that's of you know, it's not even like the 8th house, the house of secrets. It's like 12th house is almost that energy where you have to intuit it. Like, you are never going to know. People are not going to open up about it. And if they do, it's going to be stale. And that has been my experience, right? So, like, while growing up, again, I told you the experience where I wouldn't have that much of a, I guess, romantic life, if you would call it that, right? But years later, someone would be like, I always had the biggest crush on you. And I'll be like, really? I never would have known. Yeah, they're totally playing off that 12th house shit. You know what I mean? And so, like, that happened to me, like, I can't count how many times that has been said to me. Now, if when I was in different cities, I did not experience it. When someone found me attractive and wanted to get to know me, they would approach me, right? And it's because the house has shifted. And so now my 5th, 7th, 8th and 9th house, the 2nd house rulers, you know what I mean, or lords, are different. And so they're in different houses, and I'm not going through that experience. So this is why I tell people too, when you want to relocate and you pull up the actual chart, not the map, but the chart of the place you want to relocate to, you don't want energy in the 12th house because that aspect is going to be hidden. And yes, it's nice to have, you know, to experience the 12th house energy. It's cool, but it's tough at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, the best way to describe it, and this is me totally dramatizing it to the greatest degree. So please don't, like, act like I'm trying to compare 12th housers to, like, Jesus, or his real name's Ishwa. But, like, this is the best way that I could describe it that's universal, that people will get. I'm not saying that 12th housers is Ishwa or Yeshua or Jesus. Please, guys, please, just please get off of yourself. All right. So the thing is like, you know, God probably approached Ishwa, was like, hey, this is what I want you to do, right? I want you to give up your life and suffer and go to this crucifixion and stuff. And it's gonna, like, free the people of the world. You know, before then, you're gonna have to, like, you know, spread messages around and be threatened and have to hide out and stuff and hang out with, you know, people that are cool, but, you know, might stab you in the back a little bit, might kind of front on you a little bit. But, you know, they're also kind of known as, like, the unwantables of the world. But, you know, they're cool, though, in general. And, you know, and, like, but you're going to help the world, and it's going to be beautiful, you know. So Ishwa's kind of like, okay, I'll do it for you, God. All right. So it's kind of like, is there a long line to be a freaking Messiah? No, but some people will do it, and when they do it, they'll feel proud. But it's not a long line. It's not something that you really, like, want. But if you are happen to be born into that position, or having those placements, then you're like, okay, like, I'm catching the groove. I'm seeing the deeper meaning. It is something special to this. But if I had to choose my chart, would I want to be a 12,000? No, but, you know, that's how it is. So when you, you know, are doing astrocartography, you know, you kind of don't want to have that 12th house energy. Why would you want to have this energy that represents, like, subconscious patterns, hidden things, not having full awareness, not having proof, being able to feel it and intuit it, but not having a full proof, and people having the potential to gaslight you? It's just not that. If you're trying to, like, you know, see things, your chart, in a different perspective, you don't have it in 12th house. You don't want that 12th house energy, okay? All right, so there's that. So with all that being said, though, in these places that I've been, you know, the lords to these houses are not my 12th no more. They're in other places, and I'm experiencing that, and people are coming up to me and talking to me and not being afraid, not feeling intimidated, not being a scaredy cat. Like, I'm having this different experience there. So with all that being said, I do feel that, you know, that's actually the key to it. So not necessarily, like, being on a planetary line, which I'm going to talk about planetary lines too, but you know, especially if you're a 12th houser, if you're a 12th houser and you feel like I feel ugly, like I'm getting no play, I feel like I'm not desirable, like most likely you have to move somewhere where all that planetary energy is out the 12th house. And you move somewhere, so in the relocation chart, you have no plans in the 12th house. I bet you the experience is going to be different. It was for me. Okay, so there's that. But if you want to like kind of like dig a little deeper with the astral cartography, right? And you want to be able to like, you know, have that I'm a 10 experience, follow your Venus ascendant line. I'll even say Venus descendant line too. I'll say follow your Neptune ascendant line or Neptune descendant line. You know, Venus or Neptune MC line may be okay too. Because it's, you know, it's your reputation, it's your status, it's not just the career, it's how people kind of know of you without knowing you. You know what I mean? To get very reputation. So I'll say that too, but when it's your Venus, like, ascendant or Neptune ascendant line, you're embodying the energy of the planet. And so, you know, Venus is connected to beauty, Neptune's connected to the allure. And so you are embodying that yourself, and so you may notice that people appreciate your beauty more there, right? So again, like I said, we're all beautiful and we all have something attractive about us. And so in these places, even though if you feel like, well, no, I'm not beautiful, first of all, go back and listen to what I said about how beauty standards are fake, right? But then know that there is something beautiful or attractive about you even within that standard. And that someone, you know, that's going to be kind of like coveted, or like people are going to appreciate that in this area, right? Especially if your Venus or your Neptune 12 aspect is. So this is another thing too, you know, I would say be careful with Neptune in Venus if they are not the best aspected planets, or if their aspects are harsh. Yep, there's nothing but harsh aspects to them. Because that's the experience you're going to have there, right? So you do have to be careful with that. But generally speaking, for people who have like well-aspected or decently aspected Venus and Neptune, you move over to those lines, especially if it's your Venus ascendant or Neptune ascendant line, it's going, you know, people, you're going to start to see the difference. Yeah, start to see the difference. And it's going to be witty. It's going to be awesome. And you're gonna love it. But again, make sure you look at the lord of those houses, of that first house too, or your chart ruler, or relocated chart ruler, I would say. Look at the lord of your relocated chart ruler to see, make sure that's not in the 12th. Again, you don't want no energy, no plans in the 12th. Or if you're kind of like, I really want to go to this place though, have the least amount of plans in the 12th. That'll be my suggestion. All right, so you know, that whole, like, in New York, I'm a 10, in Miami, I'm a 5, in LA, I'm an 8, like, I understand what you mean, because there is, like, culture, beauty standards within each cities and everything, but most likely, it's kind of just, like, how your energy, astrologically and otherwise, is connected to those places, okay? Like, I'll even say this. I was talking to one of my friends, and they were talking about how they were having a hard time getting into the clubs in Miami. And they're beautiful. Like, all the people that was there that was talking about the story, they're beautiful. I didn't have a hard time getting to the clubs in Miami. I was actually pushed up to the front. I was actually, even in one opportunity, pushed into Rihanna's section, like, by the security, right? Pushed into it. Like, that would have never happened to me in my hometown. Never would have happened to me in Boston. Never. Like, I have actually a weird experience with clubs in Boston. It's very, very strange. It's very, very, very strange. It's weird. I just get a lot of stares and stank looks from some people sometimes, some girls, and just people just staring at me, and that's all I get. If I go to other places, it's not that experience at all, which is weird to me too, because I'm still an Aquarius rising in Miami, so I don't know what that goes to show you. Degrees are very important too, especially when it comes to the, you know, angular points. But yeah, it's wild. It's very interesting how that works. Okay. But every little point counts, every little angle counts, blah, 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 blah. And I think a big part of it in Miami too is that I don't have Mars conjunct my midheaven there like that. My midheaven's kind of further away because natally, like, it's a degree away, my Mars and my midheaven, but that intimidation of the Mars is kind of away, so I don't, the experience is not that bad. My best experience, honestly, has been in the West Coast, personally. It has. I like it there. But, you know, another thing is in the West Coast, I'm a Sag rising. And so my chart, my relocated chart rule is in the fifth house. So, of course, it's going to be a better experience for me. Do you get what I'm saying, y'all? So, it's a deeper reason here. You know, it's a deeper reasoning. There's some deeper things happening here on an energetic level. All right. So don't feel bad if you feel, you know, the energy doesn't match you in this place. Just move somewhere else. And I know it's not easy to move, but we can make things happen if we try. And I get also, too, that the economy is kind of wild. So please don't, like, take too many big risks. I want you to have your savings. I want you to be safe. I want you to be good. I want you to eat. I want you to have all the utilities, okay? But, you know, we have to kind of, like, work towards our goals and not to give up. Because if we kind of just stay put, you know, you're going to have a lot of regrets. And I don't want y'all to have that, okay? All right, so that's my... that's my take on it. I would love to hear what you guys have to say, what you think and all of that. So yeah, let me know. Okay. All right. Peace. Hey y'all, would you like to get text messages from me? I know you would. I want to get one of a kind astrology and spiritual knowledge that isn't really talked about. Well, go join me at winnow.app/astrodim for $8 a month. I will daily, yes, every single day, send you a message, an awesome message about astrology. You know, this week we're talking about Persephone. Last week we talked about little bits of astral cartography that's not really spoken about a lot. And, you know, I'm going to do more. Talk about asteroids, because you know I'm into those asteroids. Talking about you know, past life stuff, just a little bits of astrology that no one likes to talk about but is major, right? You know, a lot of people like to talk about the love and career, and that's needed, right? But let's get to the nitty-gritty, let's get to the deets, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead, join this. I reply back to the messages as well. So again, $8 a month, you get daily text, you get a reply from me, we can chat, we can talk, it's dope. So again, it's winnow.app/astrodim. I had to think about it. Let me say it one more time. winnow.app/astrodim.